Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. The Yanks should be back in action today. There's, of course, some weather concerns, some holiday concerns when the game is being played, but eventually they will get back out there. We are closer to an Aaron Judge return, and of course we're closer to that wild card play-in game. So, now's the time. We keep saying it, Boomer. Now's the time. Now's the time to wake up. Now's the time to figure it out. It's go time. It's nut cutting time. Well, when this team is healthy and when you eventually see Aaron Judge back in a lineup and you get Chapman back and everybody's there and you got a few games to figure it out, well, we want to see a Yankee team that we believe in that could make a run into the postseason. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Gio. And the thing about it is you got Nathan Eovaldi going against Jay Happ. So you got the two new pitchers that were acquired by the respective teams going today. And interestingly enough, also, I don't know if people know this out there, but I guess the Yankee radio broadcast and the Red Sox radio broadcast are going to switch on each station. I guess Susan and John will go on their station, which I believe
is WEI. It's just John and Joe Castiglione that are switching.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the analysts are not. It's just the play-by-play people.
Right.
Well, there you have it. So that will be in the fourth inning, I guess they'll do that.
Right.
So they'll just take one of the innings out and have a little fun with it and everything else. You know, for me, it's the way I look at it from the Yankee standpoint right now, just I don't want to say the – I guess it is. It's a little bit the indignity of it all if the Red Sox absolutely or happen to clinch the East in their building.
Yeah, I know.
In the Yankees building, right?
Celebratory cork.
There'll be a lot of it. And really salty celebratory cork for the Yankees.
Yep.
Cork. Yeah, celebratory cork.
I mean, that's gotta piss them off, right? I know baseball's one of those things where it's
cork.
Like, I mean, how angry can you get and how does that help you win games? But, I mean, you see a bunch of celebratory cork with a big B on it all over Yankee Stadium. That can't be a good
thing.
Yeah,
you don't want to be seeing that, man. No. That's the last thing you want to see, right?
Right. Celebratory cork.
Yeah, we get it. I mean, you know, so, you know, here we go.
Celebratory cream pie.
Oh, yeah, that too. Now we're talking. Now we have, this is it. This is basically the stretch run. This is it's the final throws of the season. The question is whether or not the Yankees are actually going to bounce back and somehow find a little bit of fire and, you know, get themselves finishing on a high note. Or will they continue to sputter here towards the end? Will they have to go on the road for a wild card game? And, you know, how does this whole thing play out? So Judge is really close. I don't know whether or not they'll have him in the lineup. I don't know if they'll pinch
well,
hit him or whatever.
He's already not going. He won't be in the lineup today. He may be available to hit, but he won't be in the lineup. And Chapman, if they play today, that is. And Chapman won't be available either after the simulated game that they had yesterday because he threw 22 pitches in the simulated game.
Right.
So, you won't see those guys if they play as scheduled today, but it'll be at some point. And that the two big things that you have to see, and there's multiple things that you have to see from the Yankees to gain the confidence back. But the two big things for me is make sure that you get that game at home and then give me something from Aaron Judge that makes me believe that he can be the player that we expect in the postseason. I don't need to see 4-5 games, 0-4 with 3 strikeouts and a pop-up for Aaron Judge as he gets to round back into shape. I mean, you want to see him be able, it's a tall task, but he's a special player. You want to see him hit the ground running because there's not a lot of time. I mean,
yeah,
it really isn't.
I think they kind of surprised Yankee fans last week when they ran him out to right field at the end of that one game just to give him a chance to get out there to get the feel back into what it's like to be out in the outfield, and the Yankee fans love that and that 11-0 beatdown over Toronto. And It's almost like they're trying to use his presence as yes. something to help this team get going, because they know. They know it. I know it. The fans know it. Everybody knows that this is Aaron Judge's team, if you want to go down that road, okay? So he's not going to sit here and tell you that it's his team. He's not going to say that, yeah, I'm the unquestioned leader. We say that because that's what we see. That's where that he's the guy that seems to be the energy. And he's the guy that everybody else is feeding off of. And when he is in a lineup and he is healthy, he is the signature player. I don't care what anybody says. And that's amazing that you say that when you have Stanton in the same lineup, who is coming off of an MVP season last year. Yeah. Think about that. Think about that for a second. You have a $300 million player that you acquired, and yet your homegrown right fielder, much like Jeter was to A-Rod, is your face of your franchise. He is the guy. He ultimately is the guy that everything kind of circulates around. And when he is not there, you see what happens to this team.
Yeah, the homegrown player is always going to be more beloved. We've seen that over the years. And a lot of people thought that the Yankees were crazy for putting him out there and not having him hit. I didn't see it that way. I mean, sure, could he re-injure himself if he's out there? His bat's not in the lineup. That's what you really want. I mean, all those questions are there. But the Yankees, all we've talked about is how lifeless they have been for an extended period of time and how much Aaron Judge means to that team. So just a little bit of a boost of having him around is something that I was willing to sacrifice to have him out there. I mean, yes, the rest of the series Saturday and Sunday was just not good at all for the Yankees. But, I mean, I didn't think that was the worst thing in the world to see him out there. I thought it was fine, actually.
I think it's, you know, you have no other place for him to go and work out or to participate in games and all that stuff. So I don't see the problem with it. And I think it's also something that Aaron Boone and probably Brian Cashman have spoken about, that, you know, it's good to do it at home. Like, the fans want to see him. The fans come there to see Aaron Judge. He is the star of the team. I don't care. You can talk about Torres. You can talk about Andujar. You can talk about Stanton. You can talk about all these guys. There is one real star in the eyes of the Yankee fan, and that is Aaron Judge. He is the all-rise guy. He is the guy that plays a terrific outfield. He hits for average. He hits, you know, just monster home runs. And he bats number two, and he stands 6'6" and should be playing tight end for the Jets.
Yeah, right.
Right? So he is the guy, if you ask me, that is the energy for the team. So I didn't have any problem. I actually thought it was a really smart thing that they did, just to get him back in, to get him back into flow, put the uniform on, sit on the bench, go through the pregame warm-ups and all that stuff, just to kind of get him back. Because you can't just ask him to take a bat and go out there and hit.
Right, right. And I was listening to our buddy JJF the Doc driving in, and some caller called up with some crazy idea about the lineup, and then JJ was going through his lineup and Allen number four, and then I was thinking back to the beginning of the season as he was rattling off these names, when everybody is healthy, how dominant this lineup should be, how these guys, we should not be in this position right now, talking about the Yankees and the ways that we are, with them being challenged offensively, especially now with everybody back. When you have everybody where they need to be, and you're heading into the postseason, you dealt with injuries, you dealt with adversity, and now you're throwing that lineup out there that we were talking about being one of the most dominant we've seen in years. Well, now's the time, really, to show it off, and they're still capable of it. I mean, I know it sounds crazy to say that. I mean, you think about the entirety of the season and how disappointing they've been, runners in scoring position, runs scored we expect to be a lot better than they have been, but they still are capable because those individuals are in there. And when you get 1-9 with everybody healthy and as relentless as they can be, they are capable of turning it on, but it really is all about Aaron Judge and seeing him be himself.
Yeah, there's no question about that. So, so the Yankees start this huge, I guess it's really a huge series for them because they still need to win, not so much for the Red Sox, but I would not want the Red Sox partying in my house. That, right. To me, that's a little bit, you know.
Celebratory cork.
Right. Yes. I don't want that happening. I don't want corks flying all over the place.
Yeah, cork.
Right. In Yankee Stadium that have Red Sox on them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that the center for the Giants is now out for the year. John Jalapio. That was just an ugly injury, down in Dallas on Sunday night. And, you know, listen, they traded his backup to Minnesota.
Yeah, I know.
So here we go. And the Giants offense, I heard Eli a little bit yesterday. I don't know what to tell you, man. I really don't. I mean, there has to be energy coming from the quarterback position. There just has to be. You know, he's got to play better, and I know that he's under a fierce pass rush and all that other stuff. To me, it looks like there's still some communication issues within their offense. Not sure who's blocking who is not in the in the blocking scheme, who's not picked up in a blitz. And all that is product, I believe, of starting with a new system, which is not the easiest, even if you are a 37-year-old quarterback. And you have to get to know each other. And I'm not so sure that Pat Shurmur truly understands who Eli Manning is yet. I think he's been very kind to Eli, saying all the nice things about Eli. But ultimately, you know what I want to see? I want to see Eli just tear into somebody on the sideline.
Don't
hold
your breath,
right?
Hey,
listen, let me tell you something. Watching Tom Brady down in Jacksonville, he's getting his ass kicked. What is he doing? He's going up and down the sideline, and he's I don't know if he's doing it because this is something that is what he does every game, because I notice it every game. He tries to get, like, I don't know how to explain it other than get lathered up emotionally. Like, to get involved emotionally, to scream and yell at people, and, you know, to kind of get himself a little angry. Because I think playing a little angry and playing with edge is a good thing. And that's how you should always play. You should always play like, you know, you are the most competitive SOB that there is on the field. And sometimes I think Eli is just kind of like, you know, well, so, you know, it's okay. We'll work on it. You know,
yeah,
and
he was like that when he was a great quarterback, too.
But I'm just saying right now, like, if he got his ass kicked on Sunday night, you know, they were all over him. There were a couple times where it was less than 2 seconds and they were in the backfield and they were on him. You know, I don't care who, you could be Russell Wilson running around like he was last night. So it's not fair to ask Eli to be something that he's not and that he has never been. So in order for him to succeed and in order for this offense to succeed, they have to do a hell of a lot better job of protecting him. And it's okay if he rips into somebody. It's okay, you know, because it's on his ass now. Because everybody has said this offseason, and you and I agree with this, that if you're going to draft Saquon Barkley, you're going to pay Odell Beckham Jr. and Nate Solder, and you're going to draft Will Hernandez, and you're going to trade half your team or get rid of, half of your team, then it's on you. That, in other words, everybody is supporting the 37-year-old quarterback that they all think has years left.
Well, I'll ask you, how much did you change from who you were in your core in the last couple of years of your career? Because, I mean, I would be difficult.
The thing was, is, you know, I was bouncing around from team to team the last 3 years of my career. So, I went from the Jets, the Cardinals, to the Bengals. Right?
Essentially,
so,
you're the same player.
Yeah, but it's not like I was there. I'm not like the face of the franchise. I didn't win 2 Super Bowls with the team. He has every right to want more from his players. He has every right to say to Smith in the backfield, you know, can you freaking block the guy at the line of scrimmage and don't let him come back here? He has every right to say, hey, Nate, what the hell are we doing here? Why?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he does in his own way.
Why are they all over me? You know, I understand. I know that, again, so it's not who he is, but this is who he has to be. I'm sorry. He has to bring energy. You know, I was watching Russell Wilson last night. You know, he's running all over the place. And, of course, the Bears defense is one of the best defenses in football. Now, all of a sudden, with Khalil Mack just flying around everywhere, making plays, arms, legs, everything. And, you know, that guy, he competes. Now, he didn't have a great game last night. And you don't expect him to have a great game in that environment. And given all the crap that's gone on around that team. But you see how that guy moves around?
Yeah, right. I mean,
it's just...
I gave you 2 examples yesterday of why I don't like the offensive line excuse. One was Russell Wilson, and I know that's not a great comparison with Eli Manning.
He didn't have a great game last night.
Okay, but he still ended up throwing. I mean, think about it. He was still making plays. He still could move away from the rush, and he still ended up throwing 2 touchdown passes.
I would say Russell Wilson is like the extreme example of a mobile quarterback.
Right, and then I gave the example of Sam Bradford a couple of years ago behind a Minnesota Vikings offensive line that was porous, and the way that the offense was able to mold around him, and he became a very, very accurate passer because of that. A lot of short passes, but it ended up being okay, and it worked. They weren't a great team, but it ended up working that way. So those are the things that, I mean, you are capable of making plays and making things happen when you don't have a great offensive line. I mean, and this is the argument that has now become together where it should be 2 separate arguments. I mean, when people are complaining about Eli Manning's play, play. It's not all about Sunday night. That's not what it's about. It's not Eli's fault. He didn't have a chance. The offensive line stinks. Okay, sure, if you want to talk about Sunday night football. But this has now been an extended period of time where he has not looked like a quarterback that you can really trust. And I don't think Eli Manning, even if he does get more time, is good enough to be able to bring, at this stage of his career, to bring this team back to where they want to be.
You know, well, the interesting thing is that, you know, 5 out of the last 6 years, they've started 0-2. And I told you about their punting statistics last year, that half of their series ended on punts. They and the Chicago Bears basically accomplished that. So they had the worst offenses in football. And already the Giants are right back where they were last year in terms of their punting and the amount of times that they are punting. And this should be better. You know, Pat Shurmur is an offensive guy. I believe in him. I think his offense really works. But, you know, Case Keenum, for instance, was Pat Shurmur's quarterback last year, due in large part to the injury of Sam Bradford. So we had to manufacture stuff. And it wasn't easy when it first started. You remember you and I were in Chicago for that Monday night game?
Yes.
And that was not a pretty game.
No, Keenum came in later in that game. Remember, I think Bradford started at another knee.
Because they caught him back from the injury, right. And they said, okay, you're going to start. And then Keenum came in late.
I think it was 6-0 at halftime, or 6-3 or something disgusting.
It was not good. Yeah. And, you know, Trubisky was starting for the Bears. It was his first start against that defense. And, you know, John Fox was handing it off, and play action pass and punt.
Right.
So it wasn't a scintillating game offensively. But the point that I'm trying to make is that if you watch Case Keenum the first 2 weeks of this season, now he signs a free agent contract to go to the Broncos. Their first 2 games are at home. They're playing against tough teams. You know, they're all tough. He has an awful first half this week against the Raiders. Awful. I mean, he had net 11 yards passing in the first half. The second half, that son gun came out and just was competing his ass off. And they end up winning the game. And, you know, he's running all over the place and he's making plays and he's energy. You know, he is like the central figure on that team who has brought a newfound energy to that team.
Yeah.
And now they're 2-0. And that's why we say the quarterback has to be the energy of the franchise. He's got to be the heartbeat. Now, of course, if you're Sam Darnold, you are the energy. And you could see it. You could feel it. The fans could feel it. The fans see it. You watch him. You know, I was at a golf event over at up in Montclair yesterday talking to a lot of the Jet fans. And I'm like, and I'm asking them, so what do you think? What do you think? What do you see? What do you see? And to a man, every single one of these guys go, we see exactly what you're talking about. We see that he has the ability to make the plays. We feel good about what we're watching. You know, football fans know. You watched Trubisky last night. He had an okay game, but, you know, a couple underthrows here, a little nervous
there. He doesn't look the part to me.
He never has. He looks a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I mean, even when he doesn't look nervous, he doesn't look the part to me. And you add the nervousness to it, it looks even worse. I mean, I don't know. There's guys that just show up. I mean, I never liked this eye test argument, but there's people that just, you look at him and you're like, all right. You know, I mean, and this guy just doesn't, he seems undersized. He doesn't seem like he's got a lot of confidence. He just doesn't, I don't know. I just don't think that the guy's going to be a great quarterback.
But I just think that, so to take it all the way back to Eli and the discussion we were having, he's got to find the energy somewhere, man. I would be, I don't know. I would make myself pissed off today at practice or tomorrow at practice. I would try to bring the emotion out of my team, because what I don't see is I don't see the emotion. I don't see, you know, and I hate to say this, I don't see the emotion from Odell Beckham Jr. either.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he looks flat as ever.
It's almost like they neutered him, right? I mean, it's almost like that. And it's amazing how he went too far one way, and now it's almost like we're criticizing him for going too far the other way. Because he's a guy I know is capable of bringing that electric energy. We've seen that before, sometimes to a fault. He's the guy I would say, all right, this is someone we can count on to bring exactly what you're asking, because we know the quarterback's personality is what it is.
You know, Eli Manning's brother, Peyton Manning, brought the energy every single game. He's directing traffic. He's talking to people. He's pointing things out. He's yelling, you know, Omaha, Omaha. He's screaming at this guy, move over here. I mean, he was like a traffic cop on the field. And even at the end, when he wins Super Bowl 50, he can barely lift his arm. Just the presence of that guy on your team makes that defense appreciate that your offense is not going to make the mistake that's going to cost you the game. So I go back to the whole aspect of Eli has got to just ramp it up. It's okay to get after your teammates.
Yeah,
it's okay. You know what? They're 0-2, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Five,
and this is it, and they could very well be 0-3.
And they're going on the road to Houston this week.
This is really the season. If you want to talk about playoffs, it's the season. Because 0-3 with the way that they have played, there's no reason to believe that that's a team that's going to come out of, I mean, especially in the NFC, they're going to grab a wild card? Come on.
That's right. And Thursday night, the Jets are at Cleveland. Two things happen there. One, they trade Josh Gordon, of course, to the Patriots. And number two, Cleveland cut their kicker, Gonzalez, and they hired or signed a rookie kicker, Greg Joseph. So a couple things there. It'll be interesting to see how Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of Cleveland, tries to heat up Sam Darnold on a short week.
Yeah, this is going to be a very, very difficult game for that Jets offense. Just seeing what I've seen from the first couple of weeks of the Browns. I mean, the Browns face two of the most high-powered offenses in football, in the Steelers and the Saints. And really should have won those games. They could have won those games.
A torrential downpour on Sunday, the opening game against Pittsburgh. So, Al, here's something for your pick segment if you like to use it.
All right.
The Browns are a home favorite for the first time since December 13th, 2015.
Wow, 2015. And I thought it would be longer than that.
They were playing against the 49ers.
All right, really bad 49ers team. Yeah. All right.
You got that?
Nailed it.
Do you want to write that down? That's like a little tidbit for you.
I think I got that, actually. It's the Browns are home favorites for the first time since
December 2015.
Against the terrible Niner team.
Yeah, you got that.
Got it.
And check out round two of Al's five-pack of picks that will be happening a little bit later in the week.
That's right. I've already been eyeballing some things.
I mean, okay. You can't make fun of him anymore. He was 4 out of 5 last time.
I know he was.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.